Welcome to the Merch Lifestyle Podcast, where we're building freedom-based businesses in the print on demand industry. Broadcasting to you around the world, here are your hosts, Spencer and Shannon.
Oh, how you doing, Shannon?
What's up, Spencer? How you doing, man?
It's good to see you. Yeah, it's good to see you too.
So, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been forever, seems like.
Your merch account is so bright that I needed sunglasses for this podcast.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Sometimes you just have to own it and move on. So today we got a cool topic we want to share with our listeners and kind of kick around some ideas together on how to find different evergreen designs, and evergreen meaning ones that sell consistently. I mean, those are my favorite designs. What do you think about that strategy?
I love evergreen designs because they'll sell anytime throughout the entire year. And you know, the hottest topic that's out today is good because you can get big sales quickly. But as soon as that solar eclipse is over with, it's gone. So, you know, there's trade-offs to it, but I think going evergreen is my favorite way to go.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. There's definitely people who see success chasing the trends, but that's also super competitive. I mean, there's a spot for it in your mix, but you're competing with everybody under the sun all the time if you want to do those. Like, the Olympics are coming up, and you're every little holiday too. I mean, you can score big, but they're kind of like buying a lottery ticket, in my opinion. So
yeah,
my favorite designs are the boring ones. If you get one up there that sells one a month, it's like, hallelujah, that is beautiful.
Exactly.
Because then they stay under the radar too, and I think you avoid copycats.
Copycats and competition.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, the more people want to drag you down.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep. I'm with you. Because with, you know, when you're chasing trends, it's like you have to have everything right. You have to have like the best design or one of the best designs there. You have to have all of your content and keywords researched to a T. You have to make sure that you're hitting everything the right way. And you have to make sure that you do it, you know, too soon and you miss it. And too late, and everyone's ahead of you, so you have to hit it right at the right time, and that's subjective, I guess. It's hard to know exactly when that right time is. So,
yeah,
if you're sticking with evergreen niches, then I think it just it's a lot easier to get sales, and it's a lot easier to get sales continuously month after month, you know, as you move forward. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, the closer you are to something popular, I mean, you better be running AMS pay-per-click. And everyone who's been in it for a while has probably had a shirt kick off that there's just completely been unexpected. But I don't know enough about why it happened other than just sheer luck and volume. So I've had many, many more total sales on just the super boring stuff that sold like five in the lifetime, but they're consistent. And that's more kind of spreads out your expectation every month too. If you have more evergreen, it's like you can kind of count on your volatility for what you make, and print on demand will probably be a little bit less volatile, which is nice if it's supporting a lifestyle, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. Evergreen. Cool. How do you find evergreen niches? Like, how is that? Because everybody asks, like, well, what is evergreen? I don't even know what that means.
It's a good question. It's stuff that's not, it's stuff that just people love to do, or something that's tied to their identity. I feel like, you know, with a trend, it can be like a movie, or it can be a play going on. Like Hamilton was a big one. It can be an event like the solar eclipse, but people were doing other stuff before that happened. And once it fades, they're going to continue doing other things. Like, for me, evergreen, like, hobbies are a massive, everybody's got something they love to do. Like, every listener to this podcast, you've got a ton of things you like. Me too. I mean, we share a love of hiking, of being outdoors, of fitness, of being active, of running. Like, things that are kind of part of your identity are what I think kind of makes up a more evergreen design, or at least a place to start. What do you think? Right.
That's exactly, yeah, you know, interests, things that interest you are definitely usually evergreen. And so everything from reading a book, I love to read, you know, you can make a design off of that, to I love journaling and writing, you know, that's just, those are two things. I just looked right here. I have a book that I'm reading and I have a journal in front of me. Those are two design ideas that are evergreen.
You should do a design that says, books are lit.
I might, I yeah, well, okay. I'll put that on the list. Yeah, I'll put that on the list to do. let's see here. So from your running to the gym, you know, if you're into that kind of thing, those are evergreen niches. And let's see here. I think if you could look, just Google like niche category or evergreen ideas,
yeah,
you'll get millions of them. And
I think to Neil Lassen's credit, I remember he put out a massive list a while back on his Merchant Former blog about, I think it was something, some ridiculous, like 10,000 categories. And you guys will find there anything from your profession to your hobby to where you're from, you know, places around the world. Like there's a ton out there. So they don't, and examples of the trends are like the eclipse and, you know, sports teams that win things and you try to do like a knockoff championship tee. Like those are kind of short lived and they're not really something you can build a long-term brand around, at least in my opinion.
Right. You know, I don't know how I got this, but I have a spreadsheet of like probably 1,000 different niche design or evergreen ideas. And it's just like everything from
shades down
different categories of pets, art, things that are like fantasy, like pirates and unicorns and, you know, family stuff, from papa to nephew to cousins to, yeah, family stuff, you know, wedding stuff. I mean, there's just the list, there's thousands here, and countries and states, making things like hobbies, like jigsaw puzzles. These are all things that people are interested in. And if you make a phrase or some sort of design that's tailored right to those, that person's going to buy it. It might not interest everybody, but you don't need to interest every single person in the world, just that one niche. And then there you go. It's enough to build you a really nice business.
Yeah. And the thing about niches and going into what you might perceive as strange niches are, is that even though they might not have a lot of traffic, there's probably not a ton of competition. And even if there is, you know, the fact that someone, just talking specifically about Merch by Amazon, the fact that someone is on that platform means that they're opening their wallet and they want to shop. And then the fact that they come to search for your niche, like bowling shirts, means they have their wallet open. They're probably a customer. Like Amazon customers are typically higher income. So they're in a perfect place of opportunity for, and they're looking for exactly what you're providing. So it doesn't matter if it's weird. It doesn't matter if you think it's the most boring thing in the world. And it doesn't matter if there's not a ton of competition, as long as there's still a little bit of demand out there, because, you know, I found the weirdest combinations of shirts will sell to, even when you combine hobbies, like, you know, this person loves, you know, blah and blah, and then you put these two graphics together on a shirt and like people kind of crazy for it. I'm like, okay, like that's super, super tailored, but that also means that you're super, super dialed in to what that person wants.
Exactly. And you know, like somebody might like football, but you're not gonna be able to get to the top of the football, you know, that category, that search on Amazon. It's gonna be very difficult unless you're spending a lot of money on ads. But you know, if you take two popular niches like football and tacos, and you combine them, like I love football and tacos, then boom, you know, that's a whole different category, and you can probably, you have a better chance of getting to the top of those search results.
Yeah. What is that called? Like the long tail strategy?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a long tail keyword strategy. And, it works. So, yeah.
So I think one thing I want to share with everyone today is some strategies on how you can do some research and how you can find some brands that are kind of chock full of these ideas. I think I haven't used Merch Informer as much lately. I've heard from a lot of people that's still a really valid strategy, but for the sake of today, I'm going to assume that some folks have heard of it. And if not, you can go to Merch Informer and check it out for yourself.
Right.
But I want to bring something that I find really interesting to the table today and just talk a little bit about how you search on Etsy.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you, I don't even think I've done this before. I mean, I've searched on Etsy, but never to find actual niches to go after, designs to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to hear about this too.
Awesome. So let me pull it up. And while I'm doing that, you guys might have heard, I'm a huge fan of Etsy. The people there, the customers there are usually willing to pay a little bit higher price than Amazon. They're willing to pay for shipping. They interact quite a bit with you as a shop owner. So you can get some really good feedback and you can solicit it without being spammy and get some really good insight into product quality. Now, of course, if you're on Etsy, you have a fulfillment partner, like a Printful, like a T-Launch, where you're having someone make the products for you and you're selling it on that platform. But Etsy is really good for kind of getting insight on who is buying your products and what they're searching for. Because what I found with Amazon is that you make the sale and you don't have to deal with any of the customer service and fulfillment, but you don't get any more data. The wall
right
stops there.
But what you're saying is with Etsy, you get keywords or they tell you what people are searching for.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And then you can, like, how do you use that data to, like, help your business, or how does that affect your listings, that data? Well, how, like, what do you do with that data?
Sure. Let me share my screen and then I'll kind of talk through and walk through it. So share me screen share. All right, Channing.
Oh, nice.
You see my screen?
Yep.
Perfect. Let me make sure it's presenting to everyone. Awesome. Okay. So here's Etsy. Let's say you want to kind of do your research on what niche you're going after ahead of time. So let's say, just for example's sake, I found that cute animal shirts are going to be something I want to go into because I found it that either it's got a lot of sales on Merch Informer, or I've searched for that in Amazon and I see shirts with a high BSR, or you know, it's just something that strikes your interest and you think there's something there. So you can go into Etsy and you just punch it in. And we're going to be kind of looking for not only the specific shirts, but what Etsy does is it allows you to go in and check out brands where you can see similar designs. And then on top of that, you can go in and you can see some sellers will leave their sales on. So you can even go through and see what is selling through their account. So it's just kind of some competitive research. And I never advocate stealing designs. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is getting information on what the market is looking for and then how people package together shirts in a brand to get ideas for how you can come up with your own spins off that. This is not a way to just go through and just bang out copycat designs. It's a way to get competitive intelligence on whether it's a good niche to go into or not.
Cool.
Very so, I don't know. You tell me which one strikes your interest here, or what one you might look at, Shannon.
I mean, I'm looking at the stars, and I'm looking what's next to the five stars, the number.
Yep.
So like next to your mouse, there's 1,300 of those, right? 5,700. Is that how many is sold?
That's actually, I'm sure they've sold more than that. That's the number of reviews they have.
That's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah. So now we're looking at this brand here, Vazzy Tees. You can see they have 700 items about, and you can see they've got this pretty standard llama design that says party animal on it. It's got a little party. Some shades, but just like, actually you kind of look like a party animal today. That's good. So What you can see here is interesting. On the side, it'll show you that this shop has 5,700 reviews. You can see this shirt has been favorited by 55 different people. Oh, by the way, you can even click into who has favorited it, and you can this person right here really likes this party animal shirt. Let's see what other items she loves. And you can go through this entire like customer profile and figure out what people like in that niche. It's extremely powerful if you're building a brand or trying to figure out what kind of design style you want to do.
That's amazing.
So anyway, you can go in and check out the shop. Let's see. They've got, almost 30,000 sales. It looks like just a standard kind of novelty t-shirt store. If you're building a shop on Etsy, you can check out their policies. I'm sure if they've sold this many shirts, they have a lot of airtight returns policy. And what we're going to look at kind of is their reviews. So it doesn't look like we can see their sales, but we can see that they're getting 2 to 3 reviews a day, which means they're probably cranking out quite a few sales. Etsy's amazing. You can click on these customer profiles and learn all about what people like that have actually opened their wallet and spent money on similar designs in your niche. And that's something you'll never be able to find other than a BSR on Amazon. So for example, they kind of sell a lot of designs that are targeted towards like maybe birthday shirts, Little Miss 2 spelled out much, like a cute shirt for a little 2-year-old girl.
Mm.
So et cetera, you can through these brands. Let's say you want to search for outdoors shirts. The mountains are calling and I must go. A time-tested classic.
Wow.
Over or under on when we see a mama bear shirt. So you've got some really funny ones in here. Basement shirts. Let's go check that out. Got some nice designs. Looks like they're doing some holiday chasing. You can go see. Okay, they got some St. Patrick's Day stuff. See what's on sale. They've got a bunch of, et cetera. This is just a tool to learn a lot more about what's selling. And again, I would encourage folks to go stand up their own Etsy store and get linked up with a production partner, because Etsy's got some super powerful pay-per-click. The margins are good, but way better than Amazon. So anyway, that's kind of been my strategy lately. The designs are usually a little bit higher quality too on Etsy than what I've seen on Amazon. Amazon seems to sell a lot of like bold text in your face kind of designs.
Cool. Their designs, the designs on Etsy look like people, like they come from people that are really serious about what they're doing. I mean, I don't see any designs that are just kind of like, I mean, I know we've only looked at a few examples, but they look really nice, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But there is no place like Etsy that you should be able to find tons of ideas just going to Etsy and looking around, spending 5 minutes just looking around. It shouldn't take very long to find something that you can use as a place to start, I guess.
Absolutely. And then the final thing I'll say is for some shops, it's a really nice launching point to get people onto your own Shopify store. So let's think of Etsy as another sales funnel to attract customers, because there's a lot of people buying on Etsy. Let's say they really like your brand of fitness shirts. And what you can do at checkout is you give them a coupon and you say, hey, come check us out on our, you know, fitnessshirts.com website. So then you pull them out of the Etsy ecosystem, and then you try to get them on your own store where the margins are even higher, because you're not paying per listing. You're not paying a fee to Etsy for payment processing. That's kind of the evolution of getting people to find your design. Etsy's almost a marketing channel to get people into your brand. And that's another reason I'm super, super excited to be on there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So there's just a bunch of opportunities, what you're saying, by expanding into this channel.
I definitely believe so. And even if you don't expand into it, it's a whole really, really awesome marketplace of ideas. And again, just, you know, for inspiration on different niches. Just go bump around on there, spend a little time. You'll find some really good quality stuff.
Cool. Very cool. Very cool. There's, I mean, it's already been talked about over and over again, but like, you know, Merch Informer is used by so many people in this business. We use that. We use Pinterest to find ideas, because there's literally millions of different ideas, just like as you know, on just your homepage. And it's just like everything from inspirational quotes to all those different evergreen niche ideas. And that's where we get a lot of our ideas for our designs as well. So, I mean, aside from the, but those have been talked about so much that that's why I kind of wanted to hear more about the Etsy thing that, you know, you've really dived into. So that's so really cool.
I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you take, so let's say you've got a list and you've pulled down 100 design ideas or niches that you think are awesome. How do you take that from inspiration to loading up your designer and actually getting them onto a product?
Well, up until a few days ago, we've just used Google Drive, and we've had a sheet it worked all right at first, but as we added more and more designs, I mean, we have thousands of design lists, you know, designs on there now, and it's slow, it's choppy, it's frustrating to use, to be honest. And it's not specific to, like, it becomes very disorganized. There's our designers, different designers have gone in there and done different things, and it's just a mess. So that's what we were using.
I was doing the same thing. I remember I spent one Saturday, I went to the coffee shop for 5 hours, and I built this like crazy workbook of organizing things where each design concept would have its own page and they were linked together. And it was a gigantic waste of time. I never used it. My VA could never learn it. It was so complicated. I'm totally with you. I'm looking for, like, I mean, Google Drive works for now, but especially with people getting tiered up, I think they're bumping up the upload limits.
Right.
You're on 4K tier. I just got on there. I mean, 200 uploads a day, that's unsustainable. Even if you've got the capacity, just the managing of the information becomes unsustainable.
Yeah.
Real quick.
It's a lot to manage. And that's why we have created our own platform called Merch Along. And merchalong.com is the website address. And it's really awesome, because you can put your research ideas in there, your keywords that go along with those research ideas, notes about the different design ideas, and then it just starts the workflow. So then your designer, you can add team members like designers, researchers, content providers, that kind of thing. And they'll go in and select the researched ideas, and then that design starts walking its way through the process until, you know, content is added, actual design is added, keywords, everything is added, and then it, you know, the upload process is all tracked there too. So it's really easy to use, and it's pretty exciting.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna take this thing and I'm gonna use it, I'm gonna break it, and I'm gonna ever loving you know what out of it, because honestly, I'm not trying to shill your product on our podcast. Like, it is a real challenge to have everything organized. People who have gone to the higher tiers, they know that. And like, once you get to a certain point, you just kind of, you miss opportunities. You miss opportunities to re-upload designs that may not have sold. I can guarantee you, I probably have almost close to 2,000 designs, and they're barely on any platform except for Amazon. I mean, they're designs that are already made. I have the keywords, but they're not organized enough for me to take advantage of it. So
sure.
It sounds really cool. I can't wait to use it and try it.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I didn't expect to pitch it on our podcast right now, but what I'm excited about is that it's made for business owners like myself. Like I made that this for me because my team needs this, and but so many other people can benefit from it. So why wouldn't I want to share it with everyone and let everyone use it and benefit from it? Because it's only going to help everyone's, you know, everyone's business out. So, but one cool thing too is you can upload different dimensions, different sizes. So it's not just like uploading your 4,500 by 5,400 standard t-shirt size. You can upload, you can specify the types of products that you're selling and then upload those product sizes. So like a canvas, like the one behind me, this monkey canvas here, that is like, it's, I don't know, 11,000 by something. It's a big image and it looks great when it's on here, but keeping the different sizes all organized and together in one listing and being able to see where they all are at one time is a really big benefit. And so, yeah, that's kind of where Merchalon came from. And we're just getting started with it. So it's really that's exciting. Awesome.
And apologies for throwing that on you. I didn't mean to get ahead of yourself. But I did have a point in bringing it up because I have these lists of design ideas that I've never taken out of the Google Drive. Like, because there's a very conscious step you have to take from having the idea. Like I'm sure a couple people have been in situations where they're out and they take a picture of a design at Target, or they're traveling and they walk through a souvenir t-shirt store that, man, I really love the way they showed off like this city. Like I love that design concept. And then it sits there on my phone or it sits there on my Google Drive. And if I had a way to just quickly send that to my researcher in the context of, hey, this is what we want to do. This is the design style. This is some keywords, like see what you can work up and we'll go from there. Like that would be super helpful. And I think people are going to have that challenge as, especially on Amazon, as they start up increasing the design allowables and you get up to 100, 200 a day.
Right.
Going to need to keep the ideas coming. You're going to need to get rid of your bottlenecks because the process will break and you'll limit yourself.
And to have just that one place to go off of what you're saying, to have just the one place to go to upload, like a dedicated platform, is huge. Because I mean, personally, I have Google Notes with ideas on them. Mm-hmm. Or not Google Notes, Google Keep, which is a list sort of application that you can keep track of different things. So it's just like a grocery list kind of application. So I have a list in Google Keep. I have another list in Apple Notes and on my iPhone. And then we have our list from that goes to our designers on Google Drive. And it's just like things are all over the place. So if we can just have one place where we just, you know, can go to add new ideas and start the entire process of from beginning to end, and you can see everything visually within Merchalon. That's huge. And it keeps you focused and it keeps your designers on track and your other team members, everybody's on the same page that way. You know, it's cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I think in the ideal world, especially in retail and in how fast fashion and apparel moves, you want to be able to move from idea to design to channel extremely quickly. I mean, you see that with the big companies too. I mean, even a company like Zara, they and H&M, they moved into the space so quickly because they ramped up their operations in a way that could just spin out different fashions at a much faster speed than the traditional like spring, summer, fall cycle. So the big players, they've already done that. And especially in a competitive area like we're in, I think that's a huge advantage to be able to spin up a design. And if you do find yourself going after the trends more so than the evergreen, and you spot a trend in the wild, like you're going to want to have your process be able to keep up with your trendiness.
Absolutely. Definitely. Yeah. Organization is everything. I mean, you have to have some sort of process. You know, I did a survey recently and almost half of the people that took the survey did not have any sort of process in terms of like keeping their content organized. And that really surprised me, but it just shows you that people need some sort of solution to help, you know, to help them out. And so I think that, yeah, this will be a good way to do that. I mean, there's other ways too that they can do, but this is a dedicated platform that's specifically for print on demand business owners. Yeah. So it'll be great.
Any other tips? I want to keep this one short and sweet. Those are my best tips. I don't have anything else. Any final thoughts on Evergreen? Like what your mix should be? You know, 75% Evergreen, 25% trends, or?
I mean, I don't really have a certain percentage here or there. We are just constantly just trying to find new. Because we have this niche spreadsheet, right? That design categories spreadsheet. And so we're just going off of that and trying to search for the best, you know, the least competitive, but yet still selling, making sales sort of ideas. So sure. I would say start, looking at those different niche ideas, Google niche category ideas, evergreen ideas, mm-hmm. and you'll start to find things very quickly. And I'm just trying to mute this. You'll be able to find great ideas very quickly. It doesn't take long, you know, so.
Cool. Very good. Well, then we'll leave it there. I want to thank our listeners to the podcast. Can find us, and you can find this podcast recording over at merchlifestyle.com. Shoot us a note over there. Find us on YouTube. Leave us a comment. Really trying to engage with some more people. We're always looking for more guests to interview as well. If you know someone who's crushing it, or even someone who's starting out or has got a special perspective, we'd love to hear from you and just talk shop. So with that, we'll leave you at it. Shannon, I'll catch you later, my friend.
Sounds good. Take care, Spencer. See you guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
And girls.
As always, you can find us online at merchlifestyle.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave us an honest review wherever you find your content.